Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What kind of a man does God use? Is he limited to the well-educated, those with the right connections? Or could it be that his most choice servants are those whose lives are wholly dedicated to him? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're celebrating the 150th anniversary of Moody Church, and today we trace our roots to a man greatly used of God. Here is Dr. Lutzer with a look at D.L. Moody, an unlikely servant.
Someone wrote of him, he dropped out of school when he was 13, but he inspired students at Cambridge University in England and founded an internationally known school and church. He once preferred to only teach children because he was uncomfortable with adults due to his lack of education, but ended up being one of the most persuasive orators of his day. He was born on a remote farm in rural Massachusetts, but became famous for conquering whole cities for Christ. He was in love with money, but ended up changing his priorities and living in austere conditions so that more money could go for the spread of the gospel. Someone else has written, he had the impulsiveness, quick temper, and rough humanity of the Apostle Peter, the single-mindedness and strategic skill and hardiness of the Apostle Paul, and the love and steady growth and devotion to God of the Apostle John. Today it is my privilege to talk to you about the life and the ministry of Dwight Lyman Moody. And not only to speak about his life and ministry, but today I have the opportunity of doing that while standing behind D.L. Moody's pulpit here at the Moody Church. And what a privilege it is, because I know that if this pulpit could talk, it would tell us stories about the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth throughout all the world through the ministry and the life of Dwight Lyman Moody. What a privilege it is. It is indeed humbling for me to be able to stand here today and to know that D.L. Moody preached behind this pulpit. Now, you can tell he was a little shorter than I am. You can tell by the pulpit. This, by the way, and many of you may not be able to see it, but behind me is his chair. And you notice how wide it is. It's wider than it would have been necessary for me. But D.L. Moody was rotund, if I can put it that way. And so that's the chair in which he sat. Today, we are here to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are going to do it through telling the story of a very unlikely servant of God. There was nothing in D.L. Moody's background that would suggest greatness. Born in 1837 in rural Massachusetts, the fifth child of nine, his father drank too much whiskey, died suddenly, unexpectedly, when Dwight was 4 years old. And then he dropped out of school in the fifth grade so that he could help the family. And after doing that, what he decided to do at the age of 17 is to go to Boston at his uncle's shoe shop so that he could sell shoes. It is there that he met Edward Kimball, because his uncle said, yes, that's fine, but you must go to Sunday school. So he attended the congregational church there, and Edward Kimball talked to him in the shoe shop, and at the back of the shoe shop led D.L. Moody to saving faith in Christ. There's an incident about Kimball that Moody remembered very well. When he was there, when Kimball was teaching, Moody was told that in his Bible he should find the Gospel of John. Well, he began to look for it in the Old Testament. And Kimball very wisely gave him his copy of the Bible, opened to John, and then took Moody's Bible, and then, of course, found it for himself. Moody never forgot that. that Kimball kept him from such embarrassment. In Boston today, you can actually go to the place. Rebecca and I were there many years ago. There's a plaque on a wall and said, "This is the place where D.L. Moody received Christ as Savior." Wow. Then he decided to come to Chicago to really earn a lot of money. He wanted to earn $100,000 in his lifetime, which in the mid-1800s was a huge amount of money. Huge amount. But he was a great salesman. And so he came here and began to also sell shoes. And then he was challenged by the young people. And in those days, you had to buy a pew in a church. And you'd purchase it so that you could sit in it, and this would help pay the bills of the church. Moody ended up buying 4 pews in the Plymouth Congregational Church. And he would recruit kids. Sometimes he even went into the bars on Saturday night to encourage some of the young people to come to church. And so he filled his pews, all 4 of them. But the people weren't very impressed with that, because these kids were rowdy, they were smelly, they were not used to any kind of discipline, and so they were really not welcome in the church. Well, as a result of that, Moody had to begin his own Sunday school. You probably have heard the story how Moody went to the worst part of the city. It was called the Sands. It was also called a little hell, the little hell, and not even the police wanted to go there. Someone says it was filled with bad women and worse men who had stooped so low they had nowhere else to go, and they did not feel at home anywhere else. You have to understand that many of these children were beaten, they were abused, they came from broken homes. And D.L. Moody knew that there was no ministry to the lowest of the low and the poorest of the poor. So he went to them. He felt more comfortable there. A man from Peoria came into the little shanty because D.L. Moody rented a saloon, a wooden saloon that he cleaned up. And he said that D.L. Moody was there with candles. It was evening time. And on his lap was a little Negro boy. In those days, African Americans were called Negroes. And D.L. Moody was reading to him the story of the prodigal son, but Moody couldn't pronounce all the words, so he would skip the words, but he still knew the story. And so there was Moody reaching out to the poorest of the poor, and he bribed kids. I mean, he promised them some maple candy, some pennies, a ride on his pony. He did everything he could. And of course, he was criticized. People said, "Is that really the reason why kids are coming to Moody's Sunday school? Is because he's doing all these things to bribe them to come?" Moody didn't care. What only mattered is that these kids would come to his Sunday school. But because of his enthusiasm, I mean, the experts say he had many of the characteristics of ADD. Because of his flightiness, his enthusiasm, his riding around on the pony with signs trying to get kids to come, he was known as Crazy Moody. But as a result of that Sunday school, it grew so much they had to go into what was known as the North Market Hall, which held 1,000 or 1,200 kids. And can you believe that that Sunday school was so famous that in 1860, Abraham Lincoln, on his way to Washington to be inaugurated as president, he was president-elect at the time, actually stopped to visit the Sunday school. He left a dinner meeting early so that he could. Abraham Lincoln said that he'd go if he didn't have to say anything. Moody said, "The president does not want to speak, but if he did have something to say, we would be very eager to listen." And Abraham Lincoln gave a brief speech. And if you read this book, you'll find, I'll tell you, you get the impression I'm excited about this. I looked through it this morning, and I'm going to just use the word and say that it is awesome. But if you read it, you'll see a firsthand account there of what Abraham Lincoln said. Now, as we move on, we discover that Moody now really rejoiced in the fact that people no longer called him Crazy Moody now that the president had stopped by. They called him Brother Moody. And that was an improvement, to be sure. Now, because he couldn't find a church that wanted all these rough kids, because he couldn't find it, he had to begin a church. 1864, the founding of the Illinois Street Church, which would later become known as the Moody Church. Four different locations, because the first one on Illinois Street, it, of course, was destroyed by the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. They built a temporary tabernacle, and they had services there, and they also used it as a distribution point to all those who were devastated as a result of the fire. And then they built a church called the Chicago Avenue Church, where Moody Bible Institute is today. Now, I don't want to overdo it, but if you get a copy of this book, what you'll discover is an entire page, and it is a picture of the Chicago Avenue Church that was where Moody Bible Institute. It was a spectacular church, but it only held 1,500 people. So as time went on, they decided that they'd come up here and they'd have a tabernacle, which was right over here where the service station is today. And yes, this book has a picture of that tabernacle. And then, of course, this church dedicated in 1925. But here's the thing. When Moody began his church there in 1864, because other churches didn't want all of these rough, rowdy, undisciplined kids, he had written on it a sign that said, "Ever welcome to the house of the Lord, this house of worship for the strangers and the poor." The original sign has been destroyed. I think it was actually stolen. I hope that if it was stolen, it was stolen by someone who was poor and a stranger so that he could sell it. But if you go out on Clark Street, you'll notice an almost exact replica today. "Ever welcome in this house of worship are the strangers and the poor." What a legacy we have today. What an opportunity to reach out to people as we think about the church. Now, what I'd like to do is to give you three lessons from the life of Moody. Three very important lessons that I have been praying would change your life, even as I have been deeply affected and deeply touched in the preparation of this message. Lesson number one is simply this. Moody decided, considering the legacy that he left, and that will become a little clearer in a moment, how could this man, who could scarcely read, though later on he taught himself to read, how could he leave such a great legacy? Three life-transforming lessons for you and for me. Number one, he decided to trade success for a life of real significance. To trade success for a life of real significance. Let me tell you a story that's often, you've often heard me tell it and brings tears to my eyes, perhaps yours also. Here he is in Sunday school, and they have a girls' class that nobody could control. These girls were so rowdy, so disobedient, that Moody said that when he taught them, they laughed in his face, and he felt like telling them to leave. Their teacher, who did his best, God bless him, told Moody, he said, "I'm sick, I have to go out east to live with my widowed mother to die." He had some fluid on his lungs, he was told his life would be very short. But the man said, "But my problem is that none of these girls have received Christ as Savior. I'm concerned about their souls." Moody said, "Well, let's rent a carriage and let's visit each one individually before you leave." The first one's name was Mary. They went and they befriended Mary. They explained the gospel and she believed on Jesus Christ. They went to the second girl, the third, the fourth, to the sixth, and to the seventh. Every single one of those girls received Christ as Savior. Now it's time for them to say goodbye to the teacher. And so they have a bit of a farewell. And Moody said, and these are all in his own words, we all knelt in prayer, Moody, the teacher, and the girls. The teacher prayed for Moody, Moody prayed for the teacher, and Moody was about to stand up when suddenly one of the girls began to pray. And then the next one prayed, and then the next one, and the next one. And all of these girls who had received Christ that week prayed. Moody said it was as if heaven and earth met together that day, he said. He said, I would rather die than miss the blessing of what I experienced that night. He said that the next day he went back to his business as a shoe salesman. He said he lost all interest in the business. Money would never tempt Moody again. He said to his friends that he was resigning, which he did. He left the business. They told him that what he was doing was foolish. It was, to quote the words here that I have written down, a wild undertaking. Moody already had made more than $5,000. That was a huge amount of money in the mid-1800s. And now he was leaving all that. He left a more expensive apartment, lived more simply, lived on crackers and cheese, sometimes slept outside on park benches, because he decided that there is something in life more important than making money. There can be a life of investment and eternal significance. And you know what Moody said? He said that he doubted if he would have left the business and gone into full-time ministry, he probably wouldn't have, were it not for that experience. And you know, let's just think about it for a moment. What would have happened if instead of Moody Bible Institute, we were to have something like a Moody Hotel? After all, this was the day of the Fields and the McCormicks and the Palmer House. Moody could have done all that. What if instead of Moody Church, what if it was the Moody Recreational Center? And instead of Moody Publishers, which he founded, what if it were just Moody Pub? What would that be like? You know, when God teaches us about value, and we've been singing about heaven, we begin to realize the need for us to exchange worldly success for eternal significance. Moody wrestled. This was not an easy decision. It took him weeks to finally yield to God and say no to all that money. But look at what happened as a result. There's a second lesson that we must learn from the life of D.L. Moody, and that is this, that God is not limited. God is not limited by human ability. He's not limited by human ability. I have to say this, that I've read a couple of biographies. There are about 60, I think, that have been written. I've only read two or three. And there is no connection between Moody's abilities and what he did. Here he is, grade 5 education. And what does he accomplish? He founds and begins 4 schools. 3 of them are out east. Some of them no longer exist, but the one that we remember the best is Moody Bible Institute, of course, which is next to us, our sister institution. What a legacy he left behind. And you know, when it comes to racial diversity, Moody was so far ahead of his times. I read this week something I didn't know before, that in the graduating class of the Mount Vernon School, there were 32 different nations represented. And Moody had someone speak on behalf of the Chinese, on behalf of the American Indian, on behalf of the different races that were there at the school. Because to Moody, the gospel was for everyone, and the gospel of Jesus Christ makes us all level at the foot of the cross. And Moody believed that very, very deeply. I'm sure that Moody up in heaven has better things to do than to worry about what we're doing here. But I believe that his heart would be overjoyed if he knew that here at the Moody Church today, we have people from more than 70 different countries of origin, reminding ourselves that the gospel is for everyone, and around the throne of God, there'll be people from every race, every kindred, every nation upon the earth. And we want to represent that here at the Moody Church. And so, he was also ahead of his times by utilizing women in the ministry. You know, when he would have prayer meetings, he would always allow the women also to pray. And that was something new. And I don't have to tell you that along the way, he became criticized for that. But he had a great ministry. And in England, when he was leaving a city, in one of the instances, at least, he left all of the follow-up work to a woman and entrusted it into her hands. Moody believed that God can use all people, all races, all genders, and he lived what he believed. Well, my friend today, I hope that you picked up on the idea that D.L. Moody was a very remarkable man. Here at the Moody Church, we have the privilege now of celebrating our 150th anniversary. D.L. Moody, of course, began the Moody Church. It was a Sunday school that morphed into the Moody Church way back in 1864. And our motto for this year is celebrating the joy of changed lives. For 150 years, we have been doing that. How grateful we are that we can stand on the shoulders of someone else as great as D.L. Moody. We only hope that we are worthy of his continuing legacy. We want you to enjoy with us this opportunity to think about the faithfulness of God and to glorify God in the fact that the same gospel that D.L. Moody preached is still being preached here today. Because after all, sin is the same, the remedy is the same, and the need is greater than ever. I want you to stay tuned because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how you can receive a beautiful pictorial history of the Moody Church entitled Celebrating the Joy of Changed Lives. You'll want it for yourself and for your friends, and let us celebrate together. The fact is that history is not simply a tombstone. History is actually a stepping stone.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the 19th pastor of the Moody Church.
The 150th anniversary of the Moody Church, celebrating the joy of changed lives since 1864. The sign behind me says it all, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that that is the case? 7,800 Sundays. Every Sunday for 150 years, Jesus Christ has been exalted and worshiped in the Moody Church. And may it ever be said of Moody Church, if it should last for another 150 years, may the same gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed from this pulpit to the future generations to come.
A personal word from Dr. Lutzer.
To celebrate this milestone, we've created a limited edition commemorative book filled with a wealth of previously unpublished photos, stories, and correspondence. It's an incredible journey through the Moody Church's storied history, which includes famous figures such as Abraham Lincoln, Billy Graham, and many others. This beautiful book makes a fascinating and encouraging gift for friends of the Moody Church, both old and new.
The book is Celebrating the Joy of Changed Lives. To find out how this book can be yours, call 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. God called D.L. Moody out of a sales business and made him a torch that lit the world. Millions felt his legacy through his preaching, his schools, and this church, which he founded 150 years ago. Next time, more about this amazing man. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.